All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to This Week of Mormons. Nice to have you with us once again for a week of Mormon news, excitement, and earth-shattering happenstances. It's going to change everything. Before we get started, one thing I would love to ask you guys to do is go over to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/thisweekinmormons, where you can pledge an amount to help out This Week in Mormons, something like $1 a month, whatever it might be. We'd appreciate that a ton. It's an easy thing to do, and it helps us keep going. So remember, that's patreon.com/thisweekinmormons, and we really appreciate it. So it's good times. Al, of course, is still in Tibet, everybody. I'm sorry to report he's out of the country doing who knows what. However, we're pleased to welcome to the TWIM none other than, you know him, you love him, Ashton Bingham.
That's right. Twitter handle, I don't know, because I never use Twitter.
Why not?
You know, political reasons. Got to keep low. Yes. I'm a very highly influential figure.
Ashton is not highly influential, but Ashton used to work for Jason Chaffetz.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Which is the best reason to have him on the show.
That's why I'm here, because the title is Former Chaffetz Staffer Talks Trash.
Yeah, right? That's basically what we're trying
basically
to do.
What we're doing here.
So
actually,
introduce yourself. Will you? However you want. You can talk about Chaffetz yourself. Let the people know who you are.
What do the people want? First of all, they want humor, and yeah. I'm hilarious.
Sure.
Sometimes, actually, not so hilarious. And I'll lead off with this testimony meeting.
Oh, on Sunday.
Yeah.
This was a gem.
And you know,
gentlemen.
I know it as most people know it, Open Mic Sunday.
Yeah.
And my bit I'd been polishing up, I went up, I performed. The crowd did not receive my jokes.
It was the worst. Ashton and I are, by the way, we're in the same ward. And for longtime listeners who heard about the whole the ward shift we talked about back November when I got gerrymandered out, we were in this. Ashton was actually my counselor in the Elders Quorum presidency. Our whole presidency got booted into this new ward. And here we've been, refugees, for six or seven months. And 8 months? How long? Anyway, so yes, we're in testimony meeting. And after this testimony, I texted Ashton a gif of the Hindenburg going down.
Appropriately so.
So tell us about it.
So I go in, I know 90% of the issue is getting people to get off their cell phones, because that's usually what I'm doing. reading religious articles, obviously.
Dude, it's so sad when you look around sacrament meetings.
It is. It's sad.
Everyone's on Facebook.
Yeah, and it's funny because I'll get on Facebook and someone in the congregation will have just liked my post.
Dude, enjoy it while you can, though, because once your kids get older,
you got to
put the phone away because they'll want to see it. So you just have to put it away.
You got to put it away. But right now I'm in the sweet spot where the baby doesn't really understand anything. We feed her and she's good.
Yeah.
So I know my first issue is to get everyone off their phone. So it's like, okay, if I can start with some kind of anecdote, any kind of joke or something, just to get people to go, what did he just say? So I figured also I'm in church. I have to rule out expletives. Which is difficult for me.
I mean,
and this will be evident when you hear a lot of just empty spots in this podcast. That's because Jeff had to edit my language. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I get up.
I'll input those Tim Allen.
a couple random sound effects. So I get up and I'm basically do this terrible joke about like how my baby's just the worst or something.
You said we're going to have to get rid of her.
We're going to have to let her go.
Yeah, so you said let her go, which is like close to when someone's terminal. And you said we're going to make you as comfortable as possible.
It was like our daughter just turned 3 months old, and I'm sorry, but we're just going to have to let her go. She doesn't pay rent.
I just kept going with it. You leaned into Temple Worker
humor. Because I was like, come on, I was expecting like the conference, general conference laughter. It's like, you know. Pity me.
You mean the courtesy laugh?
The courtesy laugh.
Elder Nelson.
Where it's like, and I said, I can't believe it. You know?
Yeah.
That's what I was hoping for. The academic crowd here in D.C., however, were not approving of my sarcastic comments.
We are so snobby here.
Snobby.
This is why you're leaving the area.
You could smell the starch from everyone's collars as they, you know, turn their heads like, ooh, are you hearing this?
All those Brooks Brothers memberships burning holes in their wallets.
Anyway, so don't plan on anything I say being even remotely entertaining or funny, because if I can't entertain my small congregation, then how can I attempt to entertain this large fellowship?
Let's just devote this episode to ragging on our ward. No, now in your defense, I teach gospel doctrine. They're a tough crowd.
Tough crowd.
Very rarely do I get them laughing, and I'm a hilarious person.
Yeah.
I'm hilarious.
Case in point.
I know. I play a bit of the straight man here on TWIMP because most of you are used to Al. He's clearly the insane
person.
He's
a fun guy.
And I'm, you know, I'm the straight
reasonable.
Man. Reasonable. In real life, I have this same dry sense of humor, but harsher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People don't like me when they first meet me because I feel I kind of come off as I am, very sarcastic. And then they're like, this guy's kind of an a-hole.
Yeah.
I can't say that. This guy's kind of can't say that.
A doTERRA.
Yes. Yeah. He is. He's the worst. And it's like, oh, I need to first establish a connection of trust with these people, and I just don't. I go straight to sarcasm, which is...
It was pretty awesome. I mean, honestly, I give you major props for trying, but I was like, oh, he's just... He's going all in on this one.
See, the old ward loved it. I remember you went up one day in your bow tie, and you made a remark about your bow tie, and the people just loved it. I'm like, ugh.
I had a lot of time with that ward, too. You know,
yeah.
I was a known quantity
by
that.
Yeah, that's right. So they knew what to expect.
They did.
I get up there like, who's this guy?
One of my best memories of any ward, for that matter. This is before you were ever in the old ward. I was in primary at the time. And they had they were going to do a musical number where they had all the boys in primary sing.
Hmm.
And they wanted the male teachers to go up there with them for support. I'm like, yeah, sure, that's what we do. No big deal. When the time comes, all the boys in primary go up there. And I was the only teacher who went up with them. So there's this row of boys standing in front of the pulpit or next to the pulpit, and I'm just towering over them in the background. I think my wife got a photo of it, and I'm just standing there singing like ba 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 Book of Mormon story, and it got and I felt my wife's just like laughing because I look so weird just standing there behind a bunch of little children, and as I sang, I slowly sat
down.
And it was slow. That way it wouldn't look deliberate, just very slowly.
Ease
and then I sat
down.
And then I sat in the chair behind it. And then I was just kind of like a subwoofer after that at that point.
Yeah.
That was my hope.
Yeah, the bass.
And I was very mad at all the other adult leaders who failed to lead in that instance.
You gotta lead by example here.
Now, tell us about what you did do for one Jason Ronald Chaffetz.
Oh, okay. Ronald.
I don't know what his name is.
I actually don't know.
Albert.
I can't remember. I think it's... I know he has Jewish heritage.
He does. He converted, yeah.
Jason. Yeah. Dukakis family line. That's always a cluster when I try to explain it to someone.
He's not Dukakis.
Yeah.
He's a Dukakis?
He is.
But the Dukakai are Greek, aren't they?
Dukakai, plural. Very, very nice. I love it. I'm not sure.
It just says Jason E. Chaffetz. Come on, Wikipedia. Does he not have... Is this like Michael J. Fox, who also has no real middle name? Just an E?
Just an E.
I am so mad.
Anyway, work for him. Basically, you know, they say congressmen can be puppets. Let's just say there is a puppeteer behind every puppet, and that might have been me, except for it wasn't. So I ran their digital media with an awesome crew in the back, in the press shop.
What does that mean? What is the digital media?
So basically, I'm the ultimate millennial worker, right? I come in and all these guys are like, legislation is important. I'm like, yeah, but who cares if you don't have some dank memes online to explain it to the younger kids?
Yo.
You know? So I was like, suh, guys. What? And then they're like, yeah, you're hired. And then I started putting out memes and basically just everything on Facebook,
Did
Twitter,
you, like,
Instagram.
Totes get the best engagement levels.
Totes got like soups high
just
levels.
Just like
of,
spread out some avocado toast and just like watch the conversions roll in.
Hashtags. Yeah. Like, ask me. I know the best hashtags. I just instinctively.
Sure.
That's why they hired me.
What is the best hashtag for collusion with Russia?
Collusion, hashtag trumped up.
Uh-huh.
Except for that kind of leads back to Hillary, and, you know, the trumped up economics.
Sure.
Blah, blah. You know, so you get a little mixture.
About trumped up economics.
And then hashtag USA is just across the board appreciated.
America.
You know, except for leftist people, they don't, who hate America, right? Oh, like, we can't go into too deep politics here, can we?
Oh, we can do whatever we want. I like that you motioned to me when you said leftist people
I'm
who
motioning,
hate America.
Italics motioning to Jeff.
Is my left of center bias
so,
just too
You're left of Utah is
oh,
what
yeah,
it is.
Yes, I am left
you
of
know?
Utah.
So.
Yeah, I'm left of Utah.
Big time.
For sure.
And I'm heading back to Utah, so I have to realign.
You'll be
get in sync with
you're
everyone.
You're going to be like a moderate now.
I'm going to be like purple.
Yeah.
People be like, Do you even Republican? I'm like, eh.
So did you have many interactions? So since you were with the committee and such, did you have many interactions with...
I did.
With Mr. Chaffetz?
And all of them interesting. Everyone wants a moment with, you know, the chairman or whatever.
Sure.
And I had a couple, one of which I'd always wanted to meet Wolf Blitzer. That was like a you know, I don't know. We just ever
you,
when
you
I was
ask,
a kid,
can ask him how you can make a big deal about nothing.
Yeah. Anytime, be, yeah. Yeah, I was the kid who, after watching Wishbone, watched
The Situation Room.
The Situation with Cooper, Anderson Cooper.
That's Anderson Cooper, 360.
360, sorry. This is before the 360
Okay,
days.
So are we meaning Wolf Blitzer or Anderson Cooper?
No, so I always liked Anderson Cooper, which is not an indication of my leanings either way.
Okay.
But I always loved Wolf Blitzer because of his name. What kind of name is that? That's amazing.
That's his real name.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, he was born to either be a serious MMA fighter or be an amazing... You know,
newscaster.
Yeah,
when you're an anchor, your name has to be like Storm Simmons or
yeah,
something
it's
like that.
Dude, I trust him instinctively. Yeah. Wolf. Sure. Oh, his name's Wolf? Yeah, I believe it. So anyway, wanted to meet him. I brought my camera with me to film the whole thing. And then I remember I put it in a vlog, because millennial. Mm-hmm. We don't do blogs. We do vlogs.
Video blog. Yeah.
Which just, you know, you throw a couple cool beats to a video and somehow... You know, anyway, so I go in and film everything and I put on a vlog. And the next day I get a sit down with our communications director and they're like, yeah, you got to take that down. I'm like, oh, crap. I'm so sorry.
This is your own personal vlog?
This is my personal vlog.
Okay.
It's because it had him in it. And it.
Does it have Blitzer in it?
Yeah, had Blitzer in it and everything. It was awesome.
Was this because Chaffetz didn't want to be like associated?
Yeah, associated with me. And I'm like, if anything, man, I am bringing you up. But I don't think he felt that way. I think he was embarrassed by me. And so that's my ultimate stain. But a cool story, several months ago, I got to drive him to Mike Pence's.
Chaffetz.
Yes.
Okay.
Former chairman.
Yeah.
Took him to Mike Pence's house. And I was so excited because we arrive, I park, and I was just about to get out. And he's like, we'll only be a minute. I'm like, dang it. So I didn't get to see Mike Pence, but. I saw his house.
Didn't you actually sit there for like 3 hours?
Yeah, it was like, basically 45 minutes to an hour. So I'm, you know.
Thanks, Jason.
It was good times.
Did now after that famed town hall he had back in like February?
Oh yeah.
Did you get to pick up on any of the aftermath of that?
No, that was mostly. I mean, his district office did a lot with that. We didn't have much of a. From the committee.
They went to In-N-Out,
which he loves.
Which he has courtesy
yes.
of we communists from California.
That's right.
Just like to remind him of that.
To remind everyone.
How good he has.
He's more a Five Guys and Fries kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, they did. He loves burgers. There's a YouTube video of him.
Speaking of Utah burgers, great topic, right?
Burger
I read recently on the most recent failed healthcare vote. You know, the one that McCain scuttled.
Healthcare. Mm.
Yeah. Actually, McCain didn't. Let's talk about Murkowski and the other ones for actually having some gumption. Not Collins. No, Murkowski. No. Yeah, Collins. I'm blanking.
I don't know.
Women,
Collins.
Right? I mean, yeah. Collins. Susan Collins.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. They said that while they were there late at night, they were munching on, it was like catered from like a Utah burger chain that all the Republicans were...
touting as the Utah
eating
place.
Like at midnight burgers and fries from a Utah burger chain. I genuinely don't know what is the Utah burger chain.
No idea.
There is no like burger chain from
Utah. From Utah. That's, I mean, there's Crown Burger.
There's Crown, yeah.
Right?
And there's
classic.
And there's Apollo Burger.
Yeah, which I think is like the same. I think they're own. Maybe not.
I don't know if they're own, but they're like the same thing.
Yeah, kind of like Warren's.
Yeah,
Warren's is a Utah.
I mean, was it like Hires Big H or something?
I don't know.
Went out there.
Yeah.
I need information on where this came.
From. I always thought. See, this is my. I had no idea, but I always thought Five Guys was from Utah.
You're an idiot.
I know, because they're huge, and I came out here, I'm like, hey, there's a Five Guys
around
here.
You know it started here, right?
Yeah. I did, yeah. So the reason we found out is because we went to the first one, the first building, the first Five Guys.
It's not there anymore. You're lying.
Yeah. Well, it had a thing on the wall. Well, you know.
Where was this?
In Virginia.
Yeah, I know it's in Virginia. The first
I can't remember. I went with Chris Rollins. We were coming back from a hike.
Chris Rollins is just
I'm throwing Chris.
None of you know, but
you should know him.
He's an exciting libertarian.
Oh, speaking of which, if you ever want to like see a great back and forth of argumentative Facebook bickering, go look at Chris and Jeff's back and forth. Very interesting stuff. Compelling arguments on both sides.
More interesting, though, as far as Facebook arguments, no names, but there's an old a member from our previous ward who often comments on things.
And, a certain...
And does so in an interesting way. That's all I'll say.
Would it be fair to say that if it was Brosnan, his first name would coincide with the person you're thinking of?
Pierce?
Yeah?
I don't know. No. Right. Anywho, well, that's exciting stuff. So now you're going back to Utah. You're leaving the political game. Just going to do this this vlogging deal full time.
Vlogging full time and selling knives if my business venture does not pull through.
Yeah.
Or Vivint, you know, back to my roots.
Well, we like to produce Vivint Bros.
Yeah, Vivint Bros.
We're known for that.
Flat brims, V-necks,
mm-hmm.
and Beats headphones.
Which you brought with you.
Which I did win actually selling security systems 3.5 years ago.
You did security.
I did. I did it for one summer. They were like, hey, you know, it was right when I got back from my mission and I just finished my first semester. And, you know, I'm like, I got to find a job. And it was either that or sell pesticide. I'm like, I might as well see. It was the worst summer.
Where'd you do it?
North Carolina.
Oh, fun.
High Point.
Yeah.
And then Danville, Virginia.
Danville's an interesting town.
Yeah. It's pretty old.
Yeah.
But High Point was pretty sketch. Yeah.
Did you do well, though?
No, comparatively,
you bought some red cameras with the money you made?
Yeah, I came home and just splurged. Yeah. I was able to pay for housing for the year.
Well, that's nice.
But like, it was hard. I mean, some of these guys come home and were like 50,000, you know, that's how they get you. Yeah. Yo, dude, you know, my first year, I didn't think I'd do great, and I did like 80,000. It's like, oh my gosh, like I can't even imagine making that in a whole year.
Summer sales guys are the worst.
Yeah, they are. There's a certain group of them that are just awesome, and then you get like, you know,
one of the greatest blessings in there. One of the greatest blessings from leaving a singles ward, typically a YSA ward, because you don't get this in a mid singles ward, I don't think, but is not having to deal with summer sales guys.
That's right.
You don't really see them in the mid singles, but man, they show up. They take the women.
The thin ties, the fun attitudes.
Yeah.
Overall flippancy.
The je ne sais quoi. They just do it.
They come in with Red Bull in hand. It's like, guys, at least be sugar-free. It's the Sabbath.
Yeah, they're the worst.
They're the worst.
They are the worst, and I potentially never have to deal with them again. If my son ever decides to be one, well, I will have failed as a parent.
Yeah.
Because we will not have finances for anything better.
No.
And he'll be resorting to that.
But he's sharp like his old man. He's good.
We'll see. We'll see. Folks, there's a lot of interesting news and things happening this week. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't sort of lead off with the heavy item here of the week that...
Hamula.
I'm not going to say great thing we're recording today because this just happened yesterday. But yeah, so Elder James J. Hamula?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping because I've kind of I've chosen Hamula.
He's Hungarian. That's actually where that comes
from. Is he?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, his family is. He's
lineage.
Yeah, he's from California. But Elder James J. Hamula of the 70, a general authority 70 as we call them now, yesterday morning on the 8th of August, was released from the first quorum of the 70 and excommunicated from the church. This is a pretty big deal. I don't think this is going to send the ripples that other high-profile excommunications have in the past, necessarily. But yeah, you don't know my Wi-Fi password.
Yeah, I don't. I just clicked it and it disappeared. I was like...
I can log you in. Talk about James Hamula to the people. You read the... You know what's
going on. Yeah, so... really interesting. I guess the last time it happened was... 30 years ago.
89.
Yeah. 28 years ago. And I did some research just because I can't remember last time this happened. Obviously, I was not here.
Were you born in 89?
Oh, actually, yeah. No, not yet.
Gosh. People are so young. It makes me want to barf.
But immediately, like anyone else in Utah who even cares to look it up, it's like, what did he do? What'd you do? And...
Mm-hmm.
I just lost my entire train of thought. You'll cut that.
This is some great audio right now.
This is great. So I went through and I picked up the stick of Bruce, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Some know it as Mormon doctrine, just to kind of see what old Bruce has to say. And one thing I read, just because I know off the top of my head, there's disfellowship and then there's excommunication. You know, if you're disfellowshipped, you still have all the promises and blessings, so to speak, you are just currently suspended from participating in a calling or, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, essentially. There's various levels.
Right. And then there's excommunication, which is you lose all promises, blessings, and are no longer considered a member of the church, and your name is withdrawn from the records of the church. Now, both of which are geared at helping the individual return to full fellowship in the church. However, they're two vary drastically just because it takes a lot. It takes a lot for you to be excommunicated. And
yeah, it's huge.
It takes
apostasy. Well, not apostasy, but...
Yeah, so that's
should we read this?
Yes, so that's where I get really interested, because when I read, in my opinion, I had known that it's like, oh, you have to be apostate. You know, you have to be, you know, teaching your own thing or abiding by your own set of rules or just simply not living in accordance to the laws. And I assumed that that just meant anything varying from what the church teaches is, so to speak, apostasy.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, so this definition here is...
Well, here's sort of a little blurb about excommunication. Actual apostasy we can talk about as well. But for example, basically one of the big ones is conduct contrary to the laws and order of the gospel, which is usually what's for apostasy. That was like what happened to John Dillon and Kate Kelly, for example. And that's the bit. So it can either be that, it could be legitimate crimes,
right,
or it could be morality crimes.
Right, which does vary from apostasy.
The church, they don't comment on these things very much, but they did say, I guess they said, we won't tell you what it is, but we'll tell you what it isn't.
Yeah.
And they said it was not because of, as they called it, disillusionment. So
which was a very interesting term.
Lost faith or something like that. And it was not for apostasy. This, of course, has led many to speculate on what it is. I really don't want to dwell on that because I don't think it's our business.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there are some obvious areas where this could go, and we'll probably never find out. And if we did, then whatever. But people are going to spend... We joked in a tweet yesterday that John DeLim was busy calling every Hamula in the phone book last night, which is sadly true.
That is terrible.
I saw a sad meme when someone said, like, I didn't read my scriptures tonight, and I had a dream that John DeLim, that I woke up with John DeLim at the foot of my bed with a microphone. We've got... I'm sorry. I know John DeLim's done some okay stuff, but I feel like we at TWIM have very much drifted into a more critical camp of the DeLim thing.
Definitely.
So... You can get excommunicated. And excommunicated, of course, is you lose your church membership.
Yep.
You lose all your privileges. And like you said, disfellowshipping, you retain membership, but you lose...
You still wear the temple garment.
Yeah,
you can still attend.
Typically, yeah. You attend, but a lot of times you can't pray. Yeah. You don't take the sacrament. It depends. A lot of it varies on what your bishop or stake president says.
Right.
But those are viewed as temporary suspensions, assuming it turns around. So let's talk about a few of the only other real excommunications we've had of a general authority. We mentioned the one in 1989.
Which he came back.
Yeah, later on. So that was that was George P. Lee, which is very interesting. He's the first and only... Well, he's not the only Mormon general authority. Sorry, I said that. He's not Mormon. The only Indian general authority. He was the first one of Native American descent. He was excommunicated for heresy and conduct unbecoming member of the church. Now, most people say that this was because he actually had a lot of opposition, as it says in the Salt Lake Tribune here, to, quote, the faith's shifting approach to its Indian members, who Lee believed were meant to be
the leaders
in the church.
Yes.
And then later on, he actually admitted to sex abuse.
Yeah.
So, are you sure he actually came back in?
No, it was...
It was the other one.
It was
from
the other
40s.
Guy. Yeah, from the 40s.
And that was a huge deal when that happened, especially because it was around, like, random
and
stuff.
That had to do with, I think it was adultery is what is...
Yeah, what happened
in... And then they had an issue with polygamy that he might have been...
Yeah. So 1943, that was the last one before that. Richard R. Lyman was excommunicated for adultery, and his wife was... he was an apostle, and his wife, Amy Brown Lyman, was the general president of the Relief Society at the time, too. And they stayed together, and he was rebaptized, which is pretty crazy. What I'm a little bit... murky about is, like, you mentioned polygamy. They talk about Matthew Bowman, who actually lives here in the D.C. area.
Yeah.
And he said the action against Lyman came amid swirling rumors of polygamy, which is just crazy. Can't believe that. I mean,
that was...
But the 40s.
Yeah, 40s. That was still an issue.
We were less far removed from it.
Yeah.
I mean, I descend from, like, the last generation of polygamists.
The same.
In Mexico.
Erastus Bingham in Utah. Anyone who's a Bingham in Utah, I'll be like, do you know of an Erastus Bingham? And we're all connected to him.
I feel like there are a lot
of
Binghams.
He had a ton.
Binghams in Utah.
Yeah, he was big, big, big polygamous guy.
So it's very easy to become gossipy about something right. like this. It really isn't, and speculative. But I hope what we can remember is this is, of course, an unfortunate episode. But even with excommunication, one, it can be a tool, albeit a dramatic one.
Right.
But a tool for one to still get life in order, whatever that needs to be, and come back to the church. Like, that opportunity yes. is always there.
And I remember, actually, I believe it was my mission president talking about it, and he said, you know, there's a stark difference in opinions. And when people think of excommunication, that's like the church hates your guts.
Yeah.
They never
yeah.
want you back. We don't even want to see you in our congregation, which is not the case. It's what he called the last measure. It's the last thing that the church can do to try to help you, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like a prodigal son. It's like, okay, I mean, you have to leave. You can't stay here. Please come back, and we'll do everything we can to help you come back. And yeah. so, unfortunately, it comes with such a sting, especially if you are a member of the Quorum of the 70 or the 12, just because, yeah. you know.
Well, there were many. This is anecdotal, but I've seen this buzzing around from sources and people, you know, ever since last night, that said he was, who knows how they know this, but he was among maybe the shortlisted ones when they were filling the three vacancies in the 12 a couple years ago. He was kind of on that yeah. on that short list.
He actually was a mission president out here, D.C.
Yeah. Was it D.C.?
Yeah.
I didn't realize this was where. Was it D.C. North or South?
Not sure. Oh. I just said D.C. This is Deseret News, so I don't know how yeah, reliable it is.
they did get rid of their national label, by the way. There's no now it's Deseret,
they did.
Now it's Deseret News Insider.
Insider. Oh.
Whatever that means.
Okay. Rebranding.
Yeah, a little bit. So the Trib actually has done a bit more work on trying to get like quotes from people, talk to people who might have known him. So they've got some quotes from people who are the stake president, former missionaries that served with him. And a lot of people are pretty shocked. And even Brother Hamula, I guess we call him now, he last spoke in General Conference in 2014, yeah. and he talked all about the sacrament of the atonement, which uh-huh. was a really powerful talk.
Yeah.
We don't know what was going on in his life then. We have no idea when anything happened. For all we know, all this only went down in the past month. We have no idea, right?
No idea.
But that's actually a really powerful talk. And I think one of the hard things is people might see a talk like that now and be like, well, can I listen? Are these valuable words now?
Right, because the guy was X? A terrible mindset to have, just because there are so many things that people have done in the past. Like, for example, you know, I look at Thomas Jefferson. I love Thomas Jefferson for so many reasons. For so many things that he stood for. Was he perfect? No. And then it comes into, you know, you look further into his history. It's like, yeah, he had, you know, a couple-ish things going on with his servants, his slaves, you know. And then it's like, man, I sure don't agree with that. But it didn't detract from other messages that he had had. Same with, there are many wonderful things that members of the church, bishops, stake presidents, whatever level they are, they'll teach, and then they'll make mistakes later in life. And it's a shame, just because when you are in a position of authority and of teaching and of being an example, you are also in a tighter spot, you know, which is also why in excommunication, I'm losing the terminology here, but anything to that deviates from the message of the church. So if you are a prominent member of society, you're a recognized public figure, and you do something contrary to what, you know, your religion stands for, that can have dire consequences for you in your membership with the church. And so it's kind of hard sometimes to go, ah, geez, does that discredit what they said before? No, it's a shame. It's a bummer. Yeah. And it does make people think, ah, geez, but then you kind of recenter yourself. It's like, okay, do I believe in the man or the message? And, you know, hopefully it's on the message, even though.
And that's really important to remember, because in this day and age, we think about that, like this discrediting as we talk about. But let's go back to the pioneer era. For one, excommunications were way more common back then.
Yeah, interesting.
You have people getting booted
all the time,
right, left, and center.
Yeah.
But also, these people included great church leaders. Like, does this nullify Oliver Cowdery? Does this nullify
all his great work?
Yeah, like. No. Or David Whitmer? No. I mean, sure. And a lot of these people came back. Some of them did not. But it doesn't. They still did great works before that. King David in the Old Testament.
Yeah, right?
Right?
Yeah.
It's like,
classic example.
Yeah, I mean, so I hope we can remember that. And what I've really appreciated is for the most part, I've seen some snarky, weird comments. But for the most part, I've seen a lot of people rallying around this and saying, like, you know, let's hope that
this turns around.
That this turns him around and he can move on with his life and bind the wounds.
Which is the ultimate, spirit of the work itself. I mean, a classic primary, or not, excuse me, not primary, Sunday school question is, if the prophet left the church, would you still believe? You know, that's a classic faith lesson. And it's like, well, does this guy, to be honest, I don't know any of the members of the 70 I can hardly recall the 12, you know, by memory, let alone one of the 70. And so even if a member of the 12 or even the prophet himself left, man, that'd be hard. Hard, but it wouldn't, in my heart, discredit any of their talks, the things that they taught, because it's about the message and not the people, which is so hard in so many parts of, like, not only my life, but the life of my parents and friends and family members who disagree with something that a leader says, and or disagree with the method that they employ. And I think an example from my life, I remember when we had our new mission president. Our new mission president comes in, and there's so much love for your first mission president. You know, he's the guy who brings you in, you sit down with him, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, and he knows everything, and and he loves you. You know, I felt that love for my first president. And then, when the new president came in, he did things so stinking differently, and it was like, I just don't agree with that. I've seen how this works, and I see how, and they're tiny little things that, as you know, a 19-year-old, 20-year-old punk kid, I don't understand. It's like, the message is the same, the gospel is the same. It's the same difference between Thomas S. Monson and Gordon B. Hinckley and everyone before them. They're different men. They think differently. They approach things differently. And I love that, because it also speaks to the diversity of the church. Man, I don't know, but Elder or President Uchtdorf speaks to me in a way that Quentin L. Cook, he does as well, but it's in a different way.
Sorry.
Right?
That's my favorite example, because everyone who listens to the show knows I always joke about Elder Cook as like my least favorite speaker.
Sometimes it's just hard.
He has good meat when you read his talks, but whenever I watch him, I'm just like, they can't get there on the delivery.
And that speaks to the diversity of these men, the way they approach things, the way they do things. And it's like, man, if you get all these 12 guys and everyone's like, the church is, it makes you into one person. It's like, no, it doesn't, because these people are so stinking different. And they're all doing the same. They're all trying to do the same thing, and that is help us, come unto Christ. And so it's really interesting if you can step back and realize, man, every single member of this church is imperfect.
Yeah.
And I will be offended in my lifetime by members, multiple members of the church. And I can choose to either, just stick to the message and be okay with that and be like,
right.
You know, or I can choose it as an escape for a reason to not continue.
So I am hopeful, of course, for Brother Hamula, but also in that I don't think this is going to send like waves through the church like it would be if
a member of the 12,
something like that. And I wonder, obviously we have the example of Lyman as a member of the 12 being excommunicated. I don't know if there have been any members of the 12 since then that quit or anything like that. I don't think so. So it's pretty rare. I mean, you go back to the earlier days again of church history when it was like, goodbye.
Isn't it its infancy?
Yeah,
when we're trying to figure out how to do things.
Be like, John C. Bennett, turns out you're a schmo, and we don't want you here anymore. So, Marl, thoughts and prayers with Brother Hamula.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. So, by the way, by way of mention, they're building a new MTC in Ghana.
Ghana.
Now, I read this, and at first I was perplexed because I knew there was an MTC in Ghana before that. And that's one of those things that blows your mind, by the way. When I went on my mission, I just assumed there was the MTC.
The MTC in Provo.
And I think I'd maybe been aware of the one in Brazil.
Right.
Right.
Which
is full service, quote unquote, that if you serve there, even as American, you just go straight to Brazil.
You go straight to Brazil.
Did you do that?
I did.
Yeah.
I actually went to the MTC in Provo first because the visas had 1,000 issues, but I ended up going there.
And then I was perplexed because I got my call and mine said, you're going to you'll spend 3 weeks in Provo and then you'll spend 6 weeks at the MTC in Madrid.
What?
And I was like, there's an MTC in Spain? Okay, sure. And then it opened my eyes up to the fact that there are these smaller MTCs scattered around the world. I don't remember the exact number, but there's one in England. There's the one in Spain. I think there's one in South Korea. There's one in Japan. I think there's one in South Africa. There's the one in Ghana. And of course, you have a handful in Latin America. I don't think it's one of those things, though, the church, I don't know if they keep a firm list of. Either way, the one in Ghana originally was designed for about 90 missionaries.
Yeah. Which is pretty small.
Which I would say is comparable size to most of the ones like that. Yes. My Spain one, I think it would top out at like 75 missionaries at a time.
I think the Brazilian one was pretty large. It was like 250, 300.
That's understandably bigger. So it's cool. They're actually just getting rid of the old one and building a new one because the church in West Africa has just been exploding in growth, and they need to accommodate far, far more missionaries than what they had previously. So the original one housed 90. It was built in 2002. It was 14 miles east in Tema, which is Tema's closer to where the port is over in Accra. And because of the growth, this new one will have 320 missionaries, but they can add on to accommodate 500 if needed. Wow. That's hardcore.
That's huge.
So I don't know how it's been, because they speak English in Ghana. I don't know of those who served in Ghana, like from the States, if when they got their call, they just went straight there and spent 3 weeks there, or if they reserved that for locals, which was also very common when I was in Spain. You had those of us who'd go over, but also like Spaniards who went to Spain just went to Madrid MTC for 3 weeks.
And I almost wonder if, besides the increasing speed of the growth of the church, I think it's also like a logistic issue with sending out how many hundreds and thousands of missionaries from Salt Lake, to the point it's like, yeah, let's just send them all here because that's where they're going to be anyway.
Yeah.
Food's cheaper here. This is, you know, cost of living, whatnot. A thousand things are cheaper there. So, but it's interesting that that's huge.
That's a big MTC.
You know, if anything, Brazil is, I think it's one of the fastest growing, where the church is growing the fastest. I could be wrong.
Brazil?
Brazil.
Lies.
What?
I believe West Africa is the fastest place.
West Africa?
Yeah. Brazil's a joke, man. It's like 10 Brazil's years ago.
So 5 years
ago. Everyone's in Brazil. Oh, all
yeah,
of
me and everyone else. It's the worst because Portuguese is awesome. It's beautiful.
Sure, right.
I can understand Spanish. But
Portuguese sounds like gibberish.
What? It's beautiful.
That's the plight of Spanish speakers.
Oh, gibberish is like Turkish or German. That's.
But that is the plight. The Lusophones understand Spanish very well, but the Spanish speakers do not
understand Portuguese.
Portuguese at all.
None at all. It's a shame.
That's how Portuguese sounds to me. Boa. É coisa boa.
Mas, assim, tipo, bem, devagarzinho.
See, that's nonsense.
Legal. See, that's gorgeous. Didn't you just...
Should I just speak
fell in love
should
with
I speak
me just a little bit?
To you to really, like, rub it
to
in?
Really throw
Olá,
me
bona,
off.
Boa tarde, meu amigo.
Boa tarde.
Estima aqui, grabant. Un podcast.
Heaven forbid anyone who actually speaks Portuguese hears what I just said.
En cara des mormons.
Os mormons.
Des mormons.
Os mormons.
No.
Sim.
Por qué?
Porque português é muito melhor.
Hola, bom dia. Sou missionário da Igreja de Jesus Cristo.
Santos dos últimos dias.
Catalan's more fun. Anywho, cool for Ghana. Good for them. Excited that it's going to open up. I don't see anything here in the Daily Herald that specifies whether they'll go straight there, if they're from outside of the Africa region or not. But man, the church in Africa is just
booming.
It's just lighting up, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. I'm trying to figure out yes. VidAngel. How good?
Hey, what's Chris, going on? What's going on with our boys in VidAngel?
Okay, so here's my personal experience with VidAngel. Right, so loved the idea. It came from like back in the day on VHS tapes. They had ClearPlay videos.
ClearPlay still a thing too. Yeah,
it is. I didn't know it was still a thing. So yeah, every time we'd go to wasn't Blockbuster, we'd go to like the local. It was called Star Video in Syracuse, and they had all your movies, but then you had a ClearPlay section, and so you could choose whatever you want. And I remember I wanted to watch The Matrix,
the first one's not even rated R. I don't know why it is rated R.
They re-rated it PG-13.
When did they re-rate?
It was one of the very few re-rates of all time
for video.
Yeah,
because its theatrical release was rated R.
Yes,
and then if you watch, I saw it in theaters when I was and I was like, I don't get what's really R here.
Yeah,
I know the sequels they leaned
it was
into
a little
the
bit
R rating,
yeah, more intense.
But
it was one of the only movies to ever be re-rated to PG-13.
Is that true?
Take that to the Google.
Keep
anyway,
talking.
Loved ClearPlay. Remember renting from Star Video, Matrix, and then a handful of others. And then, it got shut down. At least at Star Video, it wasn't there anymore. And then I remember, there's some lawsuit, blah, blah, blah. And they didn't continue. Now, when VidAngel came out, I was like, oh, this is awesome.
It's
but
cool
it
service.
Was primarily, I loved it because every video was a dollar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So instead of, renting a Redbox and having to go to a Redbox, or for those of us who, you know, aren't honest with in our dealings with our fellow men who went to the dark web for whatever movie we wanted.
Hopefully not the dark web.
I guess not the dark web. Don't have to go that far.
Plenty of drug deals there.
You can literally type in just about any movie and find it in a Google search and watch it for free.
Or even on top of that, it was the fact that you could rent it on Google Play or Apple. And they would cost $3.99 or $4.99 for a rental. You get it for even HD quality is $2 on Vimeo.
Yeah.
Right?
So it was
you could watch the unedited version for $2.
And you could apply these filters, so you could be like, I don't want to hear the F word, I don't want to hear blasphemy, and I don't want to see the credits.
Yeah.
And then it's like, sweet, it was a buck. It was awesome. And we were all just kind of wondering, when is this going to get shut down? Like
didn't
ClearPlay, which I didn't know ClearPlay was back, but when is this going to get shut down? And the way they pitted it, put it on Facebook and social media when VidAngel was going through this litigation process when they were trying to keep it alive, they kept arguing, look, it's just like having art in your house. Once you buy the art, it becomes yours. You didn't paint it, so you don't own the copyright to sell it and call it yours, but you have the right to alter it any way you want because it's yours, you own it, it's your copy. And so VidAngel operated off of this. We're selling you a video. We're selling it to you for $1. We're selling it to for $20, and we're going to buy it back for $19.
Yeah. And they had actual SKUs for every single one.
For every single one.
Yeah.
And that's where they were challenged legally. It wasn't so much about the editing of a video because they had a great campaign on Facebook. Like, if you were in a house, if you're at your house and you're watching a movie, you can fast forward anything you want to because then that's your prerogative. The director's not going to come to your house and be like, no, I want you to see the scene.
Right.
You have the power, but that's not the legal issue. The legal issue was you are selling property and it's not actually exchanging hands. And that's like the worst explanation I can give, but
that was
essentially.
And also
the
were making digital copies of Blu-rays.
Exactly.
So what's going on here
It died.
Then they came back with their streaming thing they're doing now, which I think, have you seen that?
Yes.
So now they're just straight up hacking into Netflix and Amazon.
And HBO.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a bummer.
It's a clear violation of terms of service.
Yeah, it's like, how is this okay, though? And I had it on my Apple TV.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. You can't use it on the Apple TV. It's a terrible setup right now. I think they're just trying to figure out what
Is the Apple TV still nothing but like bad comedy videos?
Apple TV?
Yeah. Well, for a while, so when they had to pull down the rentals, all they had left was their little attempt at VidAngel-sponsored clean comedy.
Right.
And my Android TV had only that for a while. Then they just like last week refreshed the app, so now you can watch these filtered streaming from my Android TV app.
Oh. Okay.
But I could Chromecast it before.
Yeah, so that's basically what we did. Yeah. We had to, like, we will get our iPhone and we'll just, what's it called, just cast it to our television. But you can't use the app on the Apple TV. Mm. So I couldn't
Haven't updated it.
Yeah, they haven't updated it. But yeah, it's just kind of like, geez, I'm already paying, you know, when I say I'm paying $10 a month for Netflix, whoever I'm mooching off of still is paying $10. But then I would technically have to pay, what is it, 10 bucks a month or $5 a month to stream anything and have it
$8
clean flixed.
Yeah.
$8 a month.
And VidAngel, of course, argues that in this case, there's no worries because they're not taking away subscriptions from any of these services. You have to have a subscription
to
make sense. So what happened is they had a request for the injunction review. So back in December, I want to say, the U.S. District Court issued a preliminary injunction against the company, which barred it from offering any of the rental stuff, right?
Right.
And then a little bit later on, they announced their new revamped business model with the streaming and the filtered streaming. And so they asked the District Court to review the original injunction, claiming that it wasn't fair. And then the judge denied the motion to clarify, which means the injunction stands.
Stands.
And so that's a hit for VidAngel. I think it's a good service. I think VidAngel might just kind of be a necessary sacrifice for those who want to argue that this is an okay thing to pursue. What's interesting is I know even Mormons, and especially in the artistic community, who are like totally against VidAngel. They're like, no, this service needs to die because it's messing with a director's vision, and that's wrong, which I find compelling because I'm of the opinion, like, who cares?
Right.
Like, if I made a movie and you want to mess around with it in your own home, I don't care. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's a remix for all I care.
Yeah.
Just knock yourself out.
Right. Yeah, it's really interesting to me just because... So we watched, there's a Netflix miniseries called Black Mirror.
Yes.
Really interesting. I've heard of that. I really like that kind of stuff. And so it's like, it's difficult because when you're going through your filters, it's like, okay, I don't want to hear this. Don't really want to hear this. Don't really care to see, you know, I don't want to see the sex scene. Right. But then if it's,
but don't
it's,
you?
Yeah. But then if it's crucial to the story, so like the first episode,
when it's crucial, bring all the nudity you need. When it's
extra,
crucial.
Please.
Yeah.
we're watching it and I'm like, I don't know what happened. I have no idea. Just because there were so many scenes, and it actually shows you at a bar at the top. It's like, this is what you'll see, and this is what you'll hear. And so it's just a white bar if it's completely unedited.
Uh-huh.
If you want to take things out, it'll be like, oh, you're going to miss this, and I'll have black stripes. So we put no sex and no F words, for example. Uh-huh. And it's like the audio strip was like completely almost black. It's like, oh, okay. So it's the majority of this word. And then huge black chunks.
I really want,
like, I'm not even going to understand this if I watch it.
I really want VidAngel to offer both The Wolf of Wall Street and Showgirls.
That would be, yeah.
Just to see what's left.
A 10-minute movie.
I just want to see what's left of each. So, yeah, I don't know. VidAngel might not last. Sad time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it... I'm surprised they came back.
Hey, did you see any of this stuff about Jeff Flake being like, you know, Jeff Flake could have saved us. He didn't. Did you see that going around? Our twin sisters talked about it a bit on last week's episode. Because the guy who wrote this whole thing about Jeff Flake saving us make a bunch of assumptions, namely that like Mormons all vote in a block and we do a politician tell us.
Yeah, him and Mitt Romney didn't team up with what's his name, starts with an M.
Evan McMullen,
which I met at when we were at church.
Evan McMullen's been
back in our ward.
Evan McMullen's been on the podcast before.
He has?
Yes.
Would I offend him with my story? Probably.
I don't know. Tell me the story.
I don't know if I should now.
You should now.
Okay, I have to.
Yes.
So this is our old ward. Back in the old building.
Yeah, he'd just show up there here.
He'd show up, right?
Yeah.
And as you know, and as we preface this, I'm pretty sarcastic.
This was during the campaign.
During the campaign.
We changed wards right at, like, 2 weeks after the election or something. So, yeah.
Yes. And, I'm heading out to take a walk. Sacrament meeting just finished, and so I'm, you know, already exhausted.
You're like, I don't need gospel doctrine.
I'm done. I already know that stuff.
Going on a walk.
I got
an elder's quorum to deal with afterwards.
I'm walking out, and I thought I saw him in the congregation. I was sitting in the back. I'm like, that kind of looks like the back head of Evan McMullen, just because he'd been all over my Facebook feed.
Yeah.
And so I'm walking out and I see that same head and I go, Evan, you know, because first name basis.
Sure.
Because best friends.
Yeah, of course.
Evan, just to see if it was him. Because if not, I could just pretend like I was calling out to someone else. Mm-hmm. Evan, he turns around. I'm like, oh, and then I made a terrible first comment, as I often do, which was probably offensive to him.
I'm going to have to let you go.
Yeah. I'm going to be like, I don't like you. No, so he turns around and he's like, yes. And I said, oh, for a minute, I thought you were just another middle-aged, bald, white guy sitting in the congregation. But I was wrong. It's Evan McMullen. It's nice to meet you. And he didn't, and his campaign manager was, you know, I'm assuming it's his campaign manager because he was his right hand guy right there. He laughs. I'm like, oh, good. You know, I'm not insane. And then Evan just looks at me like with raised eyebrows, like, oh, like kind of like, I wish we weren't at church so I could tell you to beat it. And so he's like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, oh, well, and I could see it was wasted on him. And so I said, so it's nice to meet you. What are you doing here? Are you just visiting? Referring to church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Referring to, like, what are you doing in D.C.? You must be campaigning. And he goes, oh, I'm just here for the services. I said, services? I didn't say this, but I thought, who?
Are you a Methodist?
The H says services. You're obviously a robot. And I was just like, oh, okay. Yeah, no, I meant, I didn't say I meant in D.C. I'm like, oh, good, good. Well, good luck with everything. We'll catch you later. And then, like, a couple other members came out and gave him a hug and stuff.
You were like, big gulps, huh?
All right, dog.
I thought when we had him on the podcast, I actually thought he was a pretty good sport.
Was he good?
Yeah, we, like, teased him about a lot of stuff, and he rolled with it pretty well. So that's, I don't know what you guys had.
I know the Utah delegation didn't really care for him.
Of course they don't.
No, of course not. He slammed his whole party.
He's not part of the deep state.
He's not part of the bros.
Yeah.
Get with the team.
So I don't know. So you haven't been in politics. We don't need to go too much on the Jeff Flake stuff. But what do you think about that when they say, you know, Jeff Flake, Mormon politician, could have saved us from Trump?
Could have saved. It's the same argument they could have applied to Mitt Romney, but they just had to find a different face.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, Mitt Romney gave it his all twice. And if you ever have the chance, watch the video Mitt on Netflix. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome because it's so sad. You just watch this guy and it's like, oh man, he's such a good guy. And
I like the way it ends when he's just like looking out of like Winnipesaukee and it's over.
Yeah. It was really interesting.
I thought it was interesting.
It was tastefully done.
Yeah. It was.
I thought it was well.
Is that still there?
I'm sure it's still there.
I mean, Netflix made it, so but you don't see it offered up.
As no, it's not like, hey, you should watch this.
Next to Master of None, you know, it's all.
you just watched, you know, 8 Reasons or whatever that super depressing show is. You should watch Mitt. It's also depressing. No, but I think it's just, you know, another reason to get, angry at your own party, which right now looks like conservatives are constantly going against each other. And it's just another, it's a HuffPost article, so I only take it as seriously as I would the Salt Lake Tribune, which is very
so
seriously, very seriously.
You're young and impressionable.
Impressionable.
Didn't you learn nothing from me as your president?
I was second counselor. I wasn't first counselor. I wasn't privy to your closed door conversations.
Yeah, we really got into some serious stuff there. Being the first counselor is like you and me, buddy.
Yeah, and I was like, hey, can I come in?
Like, no.
Hey, you just keep an eye on everything else.
Get out, child.
Out.
You don't belong here. A couple quick mentions here. The Jordan River Temple is finally going to reopen. It's been down for a while last year, I guess, since 2016. Yeah. They're redoing the whole thing. I mean, I think it's even down to like getting rid of the escalators. I believe it was one of the escalator temples like Provo used to be.
Yeah.
So big old gutting of it. And it's finally going to come.
Thank goodness.
It's going to come back online April of next year. And then they'll have a rededication session and all that. No word on if there will be a cultural celebration, which is really the thing that matters the most. A cultural celebration, yes, is planned for the day before on May 19th. Now, the sisters talked about this on last week's TWIM. Cultural celebrations in like random heavily Mormon suburbs are very interesting to me.
I've never...
Ariane made a good point of this, because one of them lives up in Idaho. And they're building a temple in Meridian, which is just 9 miles away from the Boise Temple, right? Yeah. It's a suburb of Boise. So I don't know what you do for a cultural celebration...
To celebrate...
In Boise. Likewise, what do you do for a cultural celebration in South Jordan?
Oh,
like, what do you do?
You wear your Vivint outfits if you're all the guys to celebrate your culture of selling door to door. I don't know. The only thing I think culturally when I think Utah's pioneer heritage, you know,
yeah,
24th of July.
I mean, you're one of the few temples that's where there's two temples in that city limits. That was the first. South Jordan had that in Ochre Mountain, but now Provo has two.
And this one, I've gone to this one once because it was the only place where they would do a session in Portuguese.
Oh.
So it was pretty interesting. But I remember going in and I'm like, this... So I went to Utah State, you know, now don't take anything I say seriously, but the Logan Temple, I felt the same. It's like, man, this is such a beautiful temple on the outside. It could use a little freshening.
Logan keeps a lot of freshening on the inside.
Yeah.
It is like a stake center.
It's really old
in there.
Yeah, really old.
It's not old like Manti Cool.
Manti's like beautiful.
Yeah, well,
they
gutted Logan in the 70s and redid it, and it's... I don't want to call it sad, but...
But it has the same clock that you would see in your elementary school. You know, like the classic.
Much. So let's look. This is a map right here I'm showing you. Not the listeners, but these are where the stakes are for the temple district for the Jordan River Temple. Oh. You can see the west part of the valley, of course, is Ochre Mountain. You got the Draper Temple somewhere, the Salt Lake Temple. But it's pretty good size. So like, what do we celebrate? Basically, you've got West Valley City, Taylorsville, parts of Murray, West Jordan itself, South Jordan, and Riverton, all right? There's a cutoff in Bluffdale, which probably goes to Draper, I assume. What the heck do you celebrate guess Rio Tinto Stadium's in those limits, so they can celebrate. Right. Heck, maybe they'll even have the cultural celebration
there.
There. I mean, that would make sense. Well, also, what's the arena called? It used to be I don't know what its name was. The Maverick Center. I think that's just on the edge. They could do it there, too.
Maverick Center.
Yeah. That's the one off the 215?
Oh, yeah.
The other arena?
Yeah, but I mean, what's the... I guess it's just because I come from there. It's like, what's our culture besides?
There is no culture inside the
LDS Church already. It's like, okay, culture is, you know, Mormon culture in Utah, but you're taking it even to a sub level. It's like, what's a Mormon culture in this
Jordan
area?
Commons is in the temple limits. There's nothing. It's silly. So, but whatever. Congratulations, Jordan River Temple. Some other international missions. Unfortunately, a Chilean sister missionary serving in Guatemala died from touching a live electrical wire, which is pretty sad. Heidi Andrea Ortega Uber was 22 years old, And that's it. They just said she touched a live wire. They tried to resuscitate her, and it didn't work out. And that's the extent of the release about it. But that's pretty sad.
That's pretty sad.
We've had a lot of missionaries dying.
When was the last? About 3 or 4 months ago, I met the one missionary who was at the bombings. I'm trying to think the airport in. Help me out here.
Oh, in. We're all blinking, right?
Yeah, I'm blinking.
Brussels.
Yes, Brussels.
Yeah.
He was there. He was at the bombings in the Boston Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at one other thing, but he had witnessed like these horrible things, and he was an intern in Congressman Chaffetz's personal office. And it's just like, wow, how did you make it out of all these things?
And then get so unlucky afterwards.
Yeah, right? He was in... referring to his internship, I'm assuming, is what you mean.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yes, of course.
I mean, all that fighting.
to land there.
Also, Elder and Sister Renlund did a face-to-face. Are you familiar with the face-to-faces?
No, I'm not.
Since you're apparently 12 and you were born in the 90s or something like that.
1990.
Face-to-face, but it's cool because they did it from Ghana. We should have mentioned this earlier when we talked about other things in Ghana. I believe it was the first face-to-face done with Mormon youth from Africa. It's pretty cool.
Which is cool.
And they used to live in Africa.
The church is starting to do more of the... I remember particularly there was one that Elder Holland did speaking about missionaries who had returned home early.
Mm.
And the church has done a handful of these. And there's so much media that the church puts out. And it's trying to figure out the best ways to get that out. And how do you package it? And is it a Mormon video? Is it a Mormon youth video? Is it just a message from the LDS church? Just because there's so many different avenues now that they have to send these out. But these are becoming far more common.
Yeah.
These sit down. And they actually record most of them, as far as I know. And then they'll post them to LDS.org. They're really interesting.
They're cool. They are cool. What's that? You're giving me a thumbs up. You're done?
Toast. I've got no other material.
You don't want to talk about how the Salt Lake Temple was used in Japanese anime?
That's the one I want, but I didn't read that far. I'm terrible.
It's very, very short. You can go ahead. Just read it to the people. It's over at Moroni Channel. Moroni Channel cracks me up. They get great traction.
Is that the guy who...
It's run by like a teenage Filipino kid.
Oh, okay.
It's awesome.
Who's the guy you got a cease and desist from?
Oh, that was the guy who runs Zarahemla Times. That was years ago.
Classic.
But it's still one of our favorite stories.
Classic.
Well, we got those in the mail.
That's hilarious.
That was like a crowning moment of my life.
While
you're looking that up,
that's amazing.
I will also tell you that Pandora released their list of favorite listeners based on location, and I love that Deseret News uses the headline: Utah's favorite Mormon music artist isn't Mormon, their favorite music artist isn't Mormon or from BYU. Because we just assume, of course, they must have gone to BYU, NBLDS, right? It's just Lindsey Stirling.
Yeah.
That's all we listen to in Utah.
It.
No, it's Eminem. That's the most listened to person in Utah.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Eminem.
Yeah.
His old stuff.
All the old stuff, the new stuff, whatever it may be. I don't know. Anyway, tell us about the anime.
Okay, this is really interesting. Restaurant in the corner of an undisclosed shopping district in Tokyo. Offers non-Japanese cuisine. The store operates normal as like the others and closed during weekends and holidays, but for some reason, shop opens on Saturdays and creates doorways to another world, to other worlds inhabited by mythical creatures such as elves, dragons, and etc. Wow, this is written terribly. Whoever caught this?
Hey.
This is...
Be nice.
So many issues here. Episode 5, the TV features the Salt Lake Temple. This is an amazing image if you put this in a link.
It's strong.
This is great.
It's very strong.
The Salt Lake Temple as the home of the gods. According to our friends in LDS Daily, a half-elf and a half-human princess.
Right.
Elves are great, though.
Yeah.
You know, fair skin. Look awesome. Princess needs to decide what to do with her elf. Her life, after being rejected by both the elves and humans. One of the choices was to go to the home of the gods, which is the Salt Lake Temple. And the temple appeared only for a short period of time, but let's admit, isn't it awesome?
It's even got a Moroni on it. It's pretty strong.
That's great. I love the bridge. I love how it's just...
I would love it if they would redo the temple square this way. Just carve out all the rock around it.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah. I mean, they'd have to get rid of the whole annex.
They could extend the mall, too. You'd have more shopping centers down there.
Oh, good. Well, I would like to leave you with a quick one. There's a kid. This has been going around. You know what dabbing is?
Dabbing, of course.
Did you see the kid dabbing? Through?
Yeah, when he's conducting at church.
He's just going to town. So you'd seen this already.
Yeah, yeah. This is great. My little cousin does this all the time.
Can you explain dabbing? I never knew what dabbing was until this came
up. So it's kind of like, do you remember Soulja Boy? Soulja Boy, tell him. It's like the dance. No.
I'm sorry.
Oh, so uncultured.
I'm sorry, but I know how to skank because I listened to a lot of ska in the 90s.
Do ska? Do you know Dropkick Murphys?
Yes.
Okay, do you know Catch 22?
Yes.
Wow, we're going to have a lively discussion post-pod cast.
Sure.
Anyway.
Okay.
Now I just totally lost my, oh, so dabbing, right?
Dabbing.
So it's just like a little dance move where you put two arms up, kind of like the Bellamy salute or, you know, what you would do in Nazi Germany, and you do it to your right or to your left.
Or it's almost like what you do. Don't like track runners do that kind of?
Yeah, it's kind of like the Usain Bolt.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Usain Bolt, but you have your hands flat.
Yeah, flat out. And then you tilt your head towards the opposing angle of where your hands are facing, and then you dip your head down really quickly.
Why is it called dabbing?
I don't know. I think it's from like a song. I don't know. It's just a dance move.
So I like that this kid's just doing this. It's clearly some kind of a priesthood meeting. And everyone's just like, it's cool.
Yeah.
Do your thing.
Well, did you ever see the Do As I'm Dabbing, Follow Me,
no.
Nursery, or not nursery, primary
no.
time? It was singing
but
time.
But
and
I'm sad to know
it's
that
sad.
This exists.
It's sad, but it's hilarious. They go, Do As I'm Dabbing,
oh,
Follow Me.
Oh, my gosh. Well, folks, if you want to watch that video, go to our Facebook page. You can see it there. That's facebook.com/thisweekinmormons. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, all that jazz. We'd love if you did it. Likewise, send us an email, contact@thisweekinmormons.com. Tell us how you're feeling. Tell us what you're
feeling. Thoughts.
All about it. And go to thisweekinmormons.com where we publish this, other articles that are of merit. Also, keep a lookout for Sunday School Bonanza. That's our 15-ish minute gospel doctrine prep podcast so that you can go in and do something of note in your lesson other than just be there. And that's going to be it. I'd like to thank Ashton for taking the time to be with us this week.
It's been so much fun.
Yeah, man.
It's been a hoot.
So, guys, if you send me that email at contact, he won't see it, so you can give your honest review of his performance.
Give me, be harsh.
I'll just be honest.
And then just don't tell me about it because I'm really tender. We're soft-hearted.
Yeah. Anyway, so we appreciate y'all taking the time to tune in. Anything you need to plug? Anything else you want to mention before we go, Ashton?
This Week in Mormons. Okay. Do you have like a little jingle at the end? Jingle?
Sometimes from a Filipino kid who I got from on Fiverr.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's right. What, $5?
Yeah, I'll play it right now when we end.
Do
so everyone, be well, be holy, and be happy. This Week in Mormons is over.
This Week in